Close to 18 years ago, I was a young officer in the Marine Corps. And my job was to train. It was to produce Marines. There's only two factories that make Marines in the United States of America. One's in Parris Island, the other one's down here in San Diego. And my job was to oversee the drill instructors that produced, that made Marines, the molders, the makers of Marines. And it so happened that Pastor Rawls' nephew, Xavier, ended up in my platoon. He was a recruit. And so, for the first time, I believe, in a number of years, as little Lex was graduating through Kilo Company, Pastor Raw came out, and it was amazing, because I do believe it was the first time he'd been back to the Marine Corps Recruit Depot since he graduated from boot camp. For me, it's a memorable event because I actually got to meet Pastor Raw. I got to know him. And he planted the first seeds in my life for Jesus Christ and handed me. I remember, I'll always forget, I invited him to a live fire exercise out in the field. And he came out with these two boxes of Pastor Chuck tapes. And he gave me the 5200 series. He gives me these boxes of tapes. I'm like, that's great. What am I supposed to do with these? Well, listen to them. Okay, I'll get right on that. But he did something for me. He triggered this interest for Jesus Christ. And so I have this lengthy bio tonight, but you know what? You're greater than a bio. We know you. You're a tremendous blessing to us as a family. Pastor Jeff wanted to be here tonight and introduce you because he loves you as his brother tremendously. You guys have grown up. And I know me personally, you have helped us through some of those most difficult times as a family. And I'm blessed that the Lord opened the door for you to be here tonight and to share on grace upon grace. And so let's welcome Pastor Raw to the Simple Series.
Thank you so much. Good to be here with you guys. We just got back from South America. We were in Chile, Peru, and Colombia. We had our pastors' conference every year, and it's been just a blessing to see what God's doing in other parts of the world, how the grace of God is being poured out upon people's lives. One of the things about the sermon, the story this evening, I took it from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Why don't you turn to your Bibles there? Grace upon grace. Paul the Apostle writes in the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, one of the things about the distinctive of Calvary Chapel, I got saved in 1972. It was April, and my situation is that I hated Christians, and I hated churches. I was brought up as a Roman Catholic. I was born in Mexico City at the age of 10 years old. My mom and dad broke up. She escaped from Mexico to here. She was born in Long Island, New York. My grandparents were Spaniards, and my father was Mexican-German. So we came to the States, and this is where I grew up and became an American citizen, and I joined the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam, and came back here. And I was just really blessed to be an American and continue to do that. But over the years, as I came back from Vietnam in 1967, I was put in a hospital called Project 49A, Oakland Naval Hospital. I was pretty messed up. I was not thinking right. I was kind of crazy. Spent 6 months locked up there in the hospital under the program of Synanon. And at that time in Vietnam, my wife Sharon was writing to me. And so I wrote back to her. We fell in love with each other. We went to school together, but never boyfriend, girlfriend. So in 1968, we got married in July the 5th. And from that point on, for the next 4.5 years, it was hell. Because she was a Christian, but I was not a Christian. I was in the martial arts, and I had a lot of money. I was doing very well. And at the same time, I was going down the tubes. I was committing adultery almost every single week of my wife. And the reason for that is because I wasn't happy. But she was praying for me and stayed with me. And then on April of 1972, on a Sunday evening, she decided she was going to leave me. So I decided that at this particular time that that would be the end of her life and my kid's life. And then I would just fight out with the cops. They could kill me. That would be the end of that. I've been in combat, so it didn't really matter to me what would happen. So what happened is I came on, her bags were packed, and I started, you know, got my rifle, loaded my rifle, started breaking the house down, and then I went to the TV. It was the last thing. I hit the TV. And the TV came on, and it was Catherine Kuhlman, and guess who was on Catherine Kuhlman? Chuck Smith and the Jesus People. I could not believe it. So I don't know who Chuck, you know, my mother-in-law was trying to get me to Calvary Chapel 2 years prior to that. And I said, I'm not going nowhere to Calvary Chapel. And so what happened is Chuck was sharing about God's love and God's grace. I did not know anything about God's love or His grace. All I knew was hate in my heart. And what happened is I stood there and listened to Chuck with his big smile. And all of a sudden, I had my rifle, so I said, you know what, I'm going to shoot that guy right off TV, you know. So I thought I would turn the TV off. And as I pointed my rifle, ready to pull the trigger, I couldn't pull the trigger. It's like Chuck on that side, which I know now was the Holy Spirit, was getting me to break me and to end up on my knees and asking Jesus Christ to come into my life. And I got up. And I didn't see any angels or any earthquakes or anything like that. It was just a real plain thing. I got in my car and I went hunting for my wife. And when I got to the church she went to, she said she showed me a command, so she got up and left with the kids. And what happened is she went home. And then about an hour later, I came home and I heard her crying inside. So I knocked on the door and I said, Sharon, open the door. It's me. She goes, I'm not going to open the door. I said, well, you know, I can kick the door down. And so she opened it with the latch, and I said, guess what? I've been born again. She shut the door right in my face, man. She did not believe it. She opened the door finally. She let me in, and the next day I got a Bible. I started reading it, and I started going to Calvary Chapel. The Calvary Chapel. This is where I learned about the grace of God. Amazing grace that God gives to us. And what's incredible is that Greg Laurie, Mike McIntosh, your pastor Jeff Johnson, and John Corson, and many, many others that have been involved in the Jesus People movement. It was probably one of the greatest times in my life because I really learned about Christianity. You know, you can go to church and you can hear so many sermons and watch people's lives, and at the same time, you don't see the grace of God in that church. But legalism, and condemnation, and judgment. And as I said in Calvary Chapel, I was blown away. Sitting there watching Chuck in a stool, sitting down, teaching with an open Bible. And all of the hippies sitting down, hearing the Word of God. And let me tell you something. When they worship, man, it was amazing in this little old tent. And there was nothing but beanfields at that time from the 405 to the 55. And you could see for miles. And all you could see from the freeway was this big tent. Calvary Chapel. And I never forget that. I'm not exaggerating. But I remember parking, getting off the 405 freeway, parking there by the bean fields, and when you got out of your car, I'm not kidding you, you could feel the Holy Spirit of God. You could feel it. And the reason is because of the grace of God that was poured upon Calvary Chapel. It's a mind blower when you think about that. And when I think of the stories, and see the stories because, you know, when I went to Calvary Chapel, as it grew, I never thought that I would be a pastor for Calvary Chapel. I hated pastors. I didn't want to be a pastor. I was a martial artist. And what's really incredible is I was sitting there And Pastor Chuck, I had never met him. He saw me, I guess, in the crowd, and he pointed to me, and he called me after service to come and talk to him. I went to him, and he says, "Hey, I want you to come to our shepherd school." 1976, I got saved in 72. I've been sitting in Calvary for 4 years. I got to know Greg Lurie and all these guys, and you know, and it was really cool. I went to the shepherd school where Pastor Chuck was teaching, Pastor Romaine. Keith Weeder at that time, he's already come to be with the Lord. Randy Morsch and a bunch of other guys, they were there teaching. And there was only 12 people at the Shepherd School, the first one, 12 of us. And your pastor, Jeff, was there too. And it was amazing because in the Shepherd School, it was only 1 week long. And through that week long, I learned so much about the grace of God. And the mercy of God and the love of God. That after that shepherd school, after a weekend, we graduated. And we got our certificate. I was never the same ever again. I was called to the ministry. We had been meeting for 4 years in my Kung Fu studio. I would have classes and then I would say, anybody who wants to stay for class, after class they stay for Bible study. They would stay, and for probably about 4 years, we had about 25 people sitting in a circle listening to Chuck Smith on cassette before CDs. And it was amazing. And as we were listening, because I didn't feel like a pastor, then one day Chuck says, you know, maybe you ought to start teaching a Sunday morning and a Wednesday night. So I went ahead, and then of course Romaine exhorted me. And I said, okay, I'll start that. So we started Sunday mornings. And we were 45 miles from any church. There were only 5 Calvary chapels at that time. That was Jeff and Chuck Jr., Mike McIntosh, Greg, and myself. That was it. And it was incredible because we were the first to see the birth of Calvary Chapel. And to be able to see what God was intending, never dreaming that we would be part of Calvary Chapel, as Chuck and Kay would call us sometimes on the weekend. On Friday night, we would go up to the conference center in Twin Peaks. And there would be 12 of us there with our wives and Chuck and Kay. And you know what we would do? We would pray. And then Kay would go around laying hands on each one of us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it was just an incredible time in our lives. To be able to see the grace of God manifested in such a powerful way that I was just overwhelmed. Now it's been 40 some years. Time flies so fast, it's incredible. But as I thought about grace upon grace, I thought of all the miracles and the wonders that God has done over the last 40 years because of God's grace. One thing that we need to understand is we never look to the messenger, we look to the message. The message is the most important thing. Why? Because we are all bond servants of Jesus Christ. And it's so cool. Because every one of us in here, if we got up this evening and gave our story, we would all be blown away because every one of us has a story. And the story equals grace. Grace is the key to everything and anything that we do concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about this, you know, whoever thought that God would ever use your life and my life in such a powerful way because of the grace of God and because of the work of the Holy Spirit and the way He operates in each one of our lives. One of the distinctives in Chuck's book is grace upon grace, which tonight we're sharing about. And yet, in the Calvary Chapel distinctives, it's incredible the way Chuck wrote this little pamphlet. And it was really important because we wanted to share not only our stories, but it was so cool to have Chuck share the distinctives of what Calvary Chapel is all about. So that we could really know it. And when I thought about the distinctives, I thought how God is so good to us because for sure every one of us needs the grace of God, which means unmerited favor. I love the way Paul the Apostle in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says this. He says, "In Him We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace. You see, without grace, without the grace of God, none of us would be here today. What do we deserve? We deserve hell. Every one of us. And yet think what God has done in each one of our lives individually tonight. That we should never ever frustrate the grace of God or take advantage of the grace of God. Think about it. Because in the grace of God, I have learned to love Calvary Chapel. I love Pastor Chuck Smith. I love Kay. They're like my parents. And it's incredible because you know what? They really believed in us. They gave us opportunities. And again, that's the grace of God. They gave us, even though we were young and we were stupid, and we made so many mistakes, yet they really, truly trusted in God, and they knew that the Holy Spirit would go before us. And surely He has gone before us. It is amazing to what God has done. And then I thought about this. We surely need the grace of God every single day. It is so needed to know that we are saved by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Not of works, lest any man should boast. No one can boast about anything. And the reason I say that is because when the grace of God takes over your life, how many times have we heard it and seen it on television or radio or wherever it may be in a meeting, where people get puffed up and it's no longer the grace of God. But it's to impress people in my past life, in my BC life, when it's dead already. Who cares what your past life is? What I care about is, what are you doing today for Christ? How is the grace of God working in your life? Anybody can start in a race, but not everybody can finish the race. That's the hard part. Anybody can start off. I mean, how many times in these New York marathons or LA marathon, you see hundreds and thousands of people, and many of them fall off, but they wear the t-shirt, "I ran in the LA marathon." And I just said, "Did you finish? What place did you come in?" But you see, with the grace of God, it's so amazing, the liberties that God gives to us. So many times people ask me, "Well, do you believe in drinking? Do you believe in drugs? Do you believe in all that stuff?" You know what? I mean, I have the grace of God in my life so much that I can do anything I want to do. If I want to drink, I can drink. If I want to fornicate, I can fornicate. If I want to commit adultery, I can do all that. But why don't I do those things? Because of where I came from. I was in bondage. I was dead to sin. I was held by the bondage of sin. And what set me free? The grace of God. Why should I frustrate the grace of God? Why should I hinder the work of God in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit? And then to cheapen the grace of God by doing those things that are not pleasing to God. I can't do that. I want to please my Master and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why Paul the Apostle, again writing to the Ephesian church in chapter 2 verse 8, he says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." There is no boasting in God's grace. No boasting. God did it all. We just came along and we accepted Him. By faith we believe and we walk by faith and we're going to die by faith. I love that. And so it's really important for me to understand when I look at Calvary Chapel and I look back all those years, the grace of God, the way He lifted up all these pastors that really should not be pastors. And yet, because of the grace of God, look at the mighty powerful work He has done in the last 40 years. It's amazing. It is amazing to see the grace of God. And to remember all those that started the race but have fallen away because they took advantage of the grace of God. have taken the advantage of the grace of God. They frustrated the grace of God. And yet when I think of the grace of God, I cannot help to think of John chapter 3. When Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. And the importance of being born again of the Holy Spirit to receive this great grace that God has. But what I love is verse 16 and 17. He says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Who are the ones condemned? Those that do not have the grace of God. They don't have the grace of God. Think of the grace of God in your own lives. When I look at Greg Laurie, when I look at John Corson, when I look at Jeff, when I look at Mike McIntosh, when I look at these guys that I grew up with, and as we birthed with Calvary Chapel, and to see what God has done in the last 40 years in each one of our lives, it is amazing. Why? Because we're not in competition. God allowed us through Pastor Chuck's bit to be individuals to enjoy God's grace and allow the grace of God to work in me and through my life. This way I don't take credit for anything. All the glory and the honor goes to God for everything that He has done in us and through our lives. And yet when you think of the grace of God again, you need to know that there are churches today which are severely lacking the grace of God. That's why they're dying. That's why they're dying. Bless you. Think about that. They're dying. And so it's really important for me that as I look at this whole situation of grace, that there's very, you know, very harsh or inflexible or severe form of legalism among these churches with do's and don'ts, which cancel the grace of God, because we're not living under the law, we're living under the grace of God. The law pointed me to my sin. And when I found out that I had sinned against God, the law was a schoolmaster. And then when I came to Jesus Christ by faith, notice what it does. It brought me to freedom and gave me a liberty by Jesus Christ to do whatever I want to do. And the reason that I don't do what I don't do is because I want to be pleasing to God. I don't want to go back to the stupid world that I came from. I thank God by His grace I'm still here. I probably would be dead today. I wouldn't have made it. But I was 24 years old and I was down. I was done. I have lived my whole life in sin. I grew up in a home of violence. You know, at the age of 5 years old, my dad took me to nightclubs and bars, and I saw him going with women. I saw pornography. I saw all that. So I grew up like that. And I was very callous, very hardened. I never felt love from anybody. I never had cried in my life. And yet, because of Jesus Christ and because of His love and His grace and His mercies, He breaks every one of us and we become like little children. Otherwise, we can't get into the kingdom of God. We can't. And Calvary Chapel has a very strong position on God's grace. We believe that the Bible teaches that God is a gracious God. Look at all the work that God has done in this church. And as you look at the different Calvary chapels, it is amazing. Amazing to see what God has done. And then on the other side, because I am on Chuck's board, we have seen the grace of God frustrated in abuse. Where some situation happened a couple years ago where a pastor of Calvary Chapel was on the pulpit for 50-some years. And then after 15 years of having a church and having a pretty big sized church, he's exposed of taking advantage of the grace of God, going to bed with about 9 women in his church, drinking every day and taking drugs and then getting up and preaching. He's deceived. The people were not there from him. The Holy Spirit brought the people. And the people belonged to God, not to him. And once he was exposed, grace was given to him, but he didn't want grace. Satan got a hold of his life and totally destroyed him. And it's really important that you understand that if any of you have ever fallen, God gives you a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. But you got to come humble and you got to come broken. And then the grace of God will be effective in your lives. God will give it to you because he loves you. If God was not a God of grace, then none of us here today would be here today, this morning or this evening. We would not be here. And yet, we all need the grace of God and also the mercy of God all the time. I love, number one here, that we need to be careful not to abuse the grace of God. It says this in Jude verse 4. He says, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for his condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we can abuse the grace of God. Secondly, we need to be careful not to frustrate the grace of God. That is in Galatians 2:21. He says, Paul, "I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." We don't want to really frustrate the grace of God. We want the grace of God to do what? To move freely in my life. And in order to do that, what the Bible requires for my life, obedience. Obedience in my life. Dying to myself. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. "If anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." First of all, he says, if anybody, the invitation is open. If anybody wants to come, that's the invitation, to come after me. Notice, number one, deny yourself. What does that mean? In Greek, it means to die to yourself. Die to yourself. The problem with people in the church today is they don't die to themselves. They're living for themselves. And that's why we have so many problems. So many problems. And the grace of God is being abused. Think of the congregations today all over the country where you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday. You have a midweek service. You have a Sunday morning service, Sunday night. Most of the people that come to our church, you're probably here too, 80 to probably 85% of them live and walk in the flesh, usually all the week long. And then they think by coming to church that they're going to be relieved of what they do. But we have so many stories in the Old Testament of people that not only frustrate the grace of God, but people that live a hypocritical life. And what happens, the grace of God cannot flow through a hypocritical life. Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? They were slain in the spirit. No, just kidding. They died. They died. God struck them dead for lying. And think how many of us lie all the time. We cheat in our businesses. We don't give to God what belongs to God. And we do all these things, and then some of the husbands that commit adultery in their wives at work and flirting with the women and women at the gym with the guys. And you got all these situations and problems, and yet you say, well, I got the grace of God. You better check again. If you are willfully going against the grace of God, let me say this to you. You better beware. Calvary Chapel is known for the grace of God. And we don't believe that you can take advantage of the grace of God. We believe that we abide in Jesus Christ every single day by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here tonight. Thirdly, be careful not to turn from grace. Remember Galatians chapter 5 verse 3? Paul says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law have fallen from the grace of God. Isn't that interesting? If you don't follow the grace of God, what happens to you? You go back to the law. And the law will condemn you. The law will damn you to hell. Nobody can live by the law. That's why Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and 3 days later. And he ascended to heaven. And what did he do? After that, 40 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came and baptized. And the Holy Spirit still today and will continue until Jesus comes for his church. And then we're going to see all hell break loose in the last 7 years of our history. So it's really important for me to really understand the grace of God. And yet it is interesting also that having received the mercy and grace of God that the Lord emphasizes in our own personal need to show not only mercy but grace to other people. We need to be graceful. If God is graceful with me, how much more shall I be to other people? Remember what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew 5:7, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want mercy? Then you need to give mercy. Jesus seems to equate forgiveness with our willingness to forgive. This is very evident in the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we see it. Because in Matthew 6:15, he says this, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. The grace of God forgives and forgets. And forgets. Unmerited favor. We deserve hell, but look what God has given to each one of us individually. Individually, look what God has done in each one of our lives, fully, completely. Why? Because He loves you. And He loves me. So when I go back and look at the hippie movement and what we were doing with the hippie movement, one of the things that I learned about the grace of God, when I went to Calvary Chapel, I went there because they were not going to entertain me. Even when the groups got up to play, man, they would worship. And we would worship the Lord. And then Chuck would get up and give the Word of God. And man, for 1 hour, sometimes 1 hour and 20 minutes, underlining our Bibles and writing down notes. Why? Because it was rich. And that made us grow in Jesus Christ. You cannot grow apart from the grace of God, but also apart from the Word of God. I was surprised. I was talking to our church. I go out and speak a lot of places. And I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but it happens in every church. If I was to take a survey tonight here, this is a teaching ministry, there would probably be, not one or two, I would say that 70% probably in this church have never read through the whole Bible. I've never read through it from Genesis to Revelation. And it's important that you do that. Why? Because if you don't read from Genesis to Revelation, then you don't really have the full counsel of God. You're misinformed. Because if you're only reading the New Testament, you don't know what the Old Testament is about. The Old Testament is informing you for the New Testament, prepares you for Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, we see Jesus in the Old Testament. We see the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We see redemption in the Old Testament. And then fulfilled in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they kill lambs. And then Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, his cousin, said what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Think of the grace of God that has been given to each one of us. And yet at the same time, think of how many of us as servants of the Lord have come to a place where we're looking at what God has done and at the same time we don't thank God for what He's done in each one of our lives individually. Don't look to other people, look to yourself and see what God is doing in your life. And thank Him for it. Thank you for the grace that has been so richly given to you because God loves you and God cares for you. And I always reflect backwards to look at my present time and look into the future. When I think of all the concerts, all the teaching, all the traveling with Chuck all over the world and watching the grace of God through Pastor Chuck Smith even to the present time. Surely he is one individual that is so different from so many people. That's why God raised him up to be the shepherd of Calvary Chapel. He's an amazing, amazing person when you meet him. And you get to know him personally. He will blow you away. Because he loves God and he loves what God has done in his life. And if God has forgiven so much to us in our lives, surely we can forgive others because of the grace of God. Maybe you came here tonight and you have something against a husband or your wife or your children or your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, or anybody else. And think about this, if you're a parent or a grandparent, those children that are living in your presence every day, what are they seeing in the home? And when they go to church, are they confused? Why? They're confused because they don't see the grace of God in the home. The way people live their lives today. The father's cussing in the home. He's not the spiritual leader of his home, praying with the family, reading the scriptures to them. They never see him on his face, humble before God. They never see him with love and grace and mercy speaking to his children. So what happens is when these children that are in Christian homes and Christian schools, when they go home and they don't see the grace of God, when they grow up, guess what happens? They go right into the world. And Satan traps them. And destroys their lives. That's why we need to understand the grace of God, how great it is in our lives. Paul the Apostle is speaking to the Romans again in chapter 5, verse 2. He said, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And check this out. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And the glory of God. You don't become Calvary Chapel just because you attend Calvary Chapel. You have to be born again of the Holy Spirit and you have to become a student of God's Word. A student of God's Word. To know God intimately, to be able to share the full counsel with people, you should be reading the Bible once a year all the way through. At least twice a year if you can. There are so many different translations that you can read the Bible no matter who you are. They even have it in cassette or CD. You can listen. And so it's important because as you begin to read the Bible, you're going to find the grace of God. Remember in Genesis chapter 6, I mean, what do we see there? We see Noah and we see the grace of God. We see the grace of God. And it's important that we understand that if the grace of God is in the Old Testament and all the way through to the New Testament, think how beautiful it is that I can enjoy today that beautiful grace of God because of His love that He has for me individually and for every one of us here tonight. God loves you so much that He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. The grace of God is amazing for people to understand and to know. This is why when the Pharisees came to Jesus, remember in the Sermon on the Mount? And Jesus told them this in chapter 5:20. He says, for I say unto you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they were hung up on works and the law. And Jesus says, unless you really, truly have faith, you'll never experience the grace of God. Never experience the grace of God. Calvary Chapel seeks to restore those who have fallen from grace. As Paul taught the Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, 1, this is what it says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken with any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. What happens to the church? Instead of enjoying the grace of God and giving grace, we become judges. And we start judging people. And yet Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says, in chapter 6, he says what? If you're going to judge someone, first of all, go and look at yourself in the mirror and pull the 20 by 20 out of your eye before you pull the 3 by 3 out of your father's eye. That's what you do. Because we always seem to see our sin bigger in somebody else's life. You better look in the mirror. You better be graceful, or God won't be graceful to you. The grace of God in Calvary Chapel has been amazing. Amazing. Because of the love, again, that God has for each one of us individually. And I think tonight, how many of us not only are here tonight, but you're struggling because you don't know about God's grace in your own personal life. And when I look at every miracle that God has done in Calvary Chapel, starting when we were hippies, and all the way through to this particular moment, I think of all the work that God has done through each individual person, especially by using Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay. Because Kay is the one that went to Huntington Beach with Chuck at the pier, and she started praying for the hippies because Chuck didn't like the hippies. He didn't like them. And then the Lord spoke to his heart when the first hippie came to his house. His daughter brought one. And they were at the house. And then the Lord spoke to Chuck and gave him that hunger and that thirst and gave him that excitement. And by the grace of God, he started opening the door. And what did God do? God saw a real shepherd where all the churches at that time, they didn't want no hippies in their churches because they come in bare feet, dirty Levi's, long hair, beards, you know, and they look like they haven't bathed for weeks. And they smell, some of them. And I remember at Calvary Chapel, in the old chapel, they have the communion, you know, the little cups with the communions, and the guys would be sitting there with their actual sandals and take off their sandals, and they would be putting their little toes in the cups, you know. And the board came, the board at Calvary Chapel, and the little chapel came to Chuck and the Chuck. Man, these dirty hippies, we need to take the carpet. He said, we need to do something about it because they're dirtying the carpet and they're dirtying the pews. You know what Chuck said? He says, take the carpet out. What's that? That's the grace of God. Take the carpet out. But why should we stop people from coming to church because the carpet's getting dirty? That's law. The grace of God, he says, pull the carpet and let's let him stay here and then we don't need a carpet. We can't be legalistic. We have to be graceful. The grace of God that is given to each one of us individually if we really, truly look at the grace of God the way Jesus looks at it. And I think that by looking at 40 years, and Chuck's been 60 years in the ministry, think of what God not only is doing in us, but what he's doing in your lives tonight. In your lives. You're here by the grace of God. And as the days get more evil, and things begin to happen really heavy, listen, the grace of God will be there for you. He will sustain you. He will be with you. But you know what makes it hard? It makes it hard when you don't trust in the Lord. And you're doing your own thing. And you're being like the Corinthian church. You're being carnal. One foot in the world, one foot in Christ, and you're in Romans chapter 7, at the end of Romans chapter 7, and then Hebrews chapter 6, and you're an infant, and you're not developing, and you're not growing. So what happens? You backslide. But those that are growing and developing in God's Word, they mature, and they get involved in ministry, and they have a heart for evangelism, and to do something for the Lord. And when they get discouraged, they go before the Lord and they trust by faith in Jesus Christ. But the grace of God is there to sustain them. To sustain every one of us here tonight. God loves you so much that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, the Bible says. He's not willing that any should perish. And I wonder if tonight, as you look at your own lives, and you see the history of Calvary Chapel, how God took those that were unfit for church. And if he could do a miracle back 40-some years ago, then God can do another miracle today. Because He's God. He's God today. Seriously. It's awesome. You know? And you guys need to pray for your church. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for the pastors and the leaders of this church or any church. Pray for me, please. All the time. And at the same time, I will pray for you and I will pray for this church. Because I want to see the grace of God not only here, but I want to see it all over the country and all over the world in these last days right before Jesus comes. So when the rapture comes, those that are living by the grace of God are going to be snatched out and we're going to be with the Lord. Father, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ tonight, Lord God, to thank You, to praise You, to worship You in spirit and in truth.